We're very thankful this evening to be back with you, this afternoon rather, in the study of God's Word. If you visit with us, and not a member of the Church of Christ, you're a very honored and distinguished guest in the audience. We appreciate you being on the call with us. For those of my brothers and sisters across the nation who may be joining us, you're welcome to serve with us. We pray this evening each of you will receive with meekness God's engrafted Word for us able to save your souls. If you're on the call and not a member of the Church of Christ, understand that Jesus hung, bled, and died on Calvary's Hill to save your soul. He shed the blood that washed his sins away in baptism. That same blood purchased his church, the only church you ever read about in the Bible, that is the Church of Christ. If you believe that with all of your heart, need to be baptized for the remission of your sins, the Lord will add you to that church, and you can serve there, that you may make heaven your home. Now, let's sing it for a few minutes. Chapter 2 of the book of Ephesians. We've been studying the book of Ephesians, looked at the spiritual blessings in heavenly places. We looked at the mystery of his will. And last week, we looked at those who were dead in trespasses and sins. And this evening, this afternoon, we will continue our study in chapter 2, verses 11, starting there, and entitled this lesson, But Now in Christ. Chapter 2 and verse 11, the Bible says, Wherefore, remember that ye been in time past Gentiles in the flesh who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. Wherefore, remember, Paul reminds the Gentiles, predominantly Gentiles who he was focusing on at this time. He had told them about how they were dead in trespasses and sins in their past. He now brings them to the remembrance of what they have now that they're in Christ. And I talked about that last week, how you, to be in Christ, one had to be born again of the water and of the Spirit and be added to the Lord's church of new creatures in Christ. And I pray all listening this afternoon can reflect back if you are a Christian, a member of the church, see how blessed you are to be in Christ. And to those who may not be members, I want you to see what you're missing by not being a member of the Lord's church, by not being that new creature in Christ. Paul refers to the uncircumcision Gentiles were so-called by the Jews for the word, the circumcision. In the flesh, there was a circumcision, not in the flesh, not made with hands, but of the Spirit. That's the circumcision we talk about. That circumcision refers to actual baptism. However, Romans chapter 2 and verse 28, Paul says, For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision one of, is that of the heart and spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise not of men, but of God. So Paul points out to him that we all now, Jew and Gentile, all Jew inwardly. It's not about the outward appearance, that everything is about the heart. And though he did have new physical circumcision back then, but now in Christ, we are spiritually circumcised when we obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. According to Colossians chapter 2, where we're buried, that's the circumcision not made with hands. That's important for us to know, and that's what God was talking about. Paul was talking about here, in glory to chapter 2 of Colossians chapter 2, in verse 11, the Bible says there, Paul says, In whom ye are also ye are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. And he said, buried with him in baptism, where also he arisen with him through the faith, notice this, of the operation of God who had raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the circumcision of your flesh, he had quickened together with him, having forgiven all of your trespasses. Now, under the old law, there was a physical circumcision, but the spiritual circumcision, the operation of God, occurs during baptism. Now back to Ephesians in verse number 12. He says that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Without Christ are these Gentiles, he's reminding them the past state of the Gentile Christian before they got baptized is described when they had, is described as one who was without Christ. They had no knowledge of Christ. Christ was not in their life because they had not obeyed the gospel. Not only that, in time past, before they got baptized, before the circumcision not made with hand occurred, they was aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. not being being of the race of Abraham, but who were in the covenant relationship with God under the Old Testament. Strangers from covenant, he called these. So they were strangers from the covenants. There were various covenants under the old law. It was a more patriarchal covenant, a mosaical dispensation of time where they both had different laws from God. And even some of those, we don't continue today because we're under the Christian dispensation. But those old laws contained the promise of Christ coming, of which they were ignorant of, and hence they were not partakers of that hope. He said, having no hope in the promise of what this of eternal life that comes through Jesus Christ. He said they were without God, walking without the knowledge of the true God in their life. And when you are without God, it's because sin separates us from God, Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. And verse 13, where I get my title, he said, but now. So now Paul has brought them and reminded them of their past, and now he's going to tell them of their present condition. He said, but now in Christ. Now, so to all on the call who have not been born again of the water of the Spirit, this is not to you. It's to those who are in Christ. This is those who are in Christ and been born again of the water of the Spirit, been all partakers of the blood of Jesus, have been washed in the blood of Jesus. He said, you were sometime before made nigh by the blood of Christ. But now in Christ, it's where I get my title right there. But now in Christ Jesus, once so far off, they were separated from God. They had been not brought nigh, and the means that brought them into a relationship with God was the blood of Jesus Christ. For he said, now that blood is what it took, brothers and sisters and friends. It was on the cross when Jesus shed the blood that will wash mankind's sin away. We had to shed blood. There had to be shed blood. The Hebrew writer says, Hebrews 9:22, without the shedding of blood, there would be no remission of sins. So it was the blood that brought everyone into this blood covenant relationship we call New Testament or the New Covenant. In verse 14, he says, for ye are our peace, who have made both one and have broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Now Paul points out that now that they in Christ, it was Jesus who brought them at peace with God. He reconciled them. He brought both the Jew and Gentile were brought. He said, for he is our peace, who both one and made both one, has broken all down the middle wall of partition between us, talking about the Jew and the Gentile. It is Christ's crucified body on the cross. The shedding of the blood of the cross that brought the Gentiles close, nigh to him, and he is our peace, the creator of peace between Jew and Gentile, who were being alienated from God. Jesus brought peace in that alienation and reconciled them back to God as his children. Who had both one, he says, meaning the Jew and Gentile, the old distinctions of the straw, all the same footing here before God. He has broken down the middle wall of partition. There was a partition between the Jew and the Gentile, and Jesus ended it. He ended it, we call it the Old Testament. He ended that old law. There was a wall between the Jews and Gentiles, Paul said in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 13. And you being dead in your sins and the circumcision of your flesh, that he quickened together with him. Watch this now, forgiving you all your trespasses. Remember last week he talked about they were dead in trespass and sin. Now Paul to Christians in Colossae says the same thing. Then in verse 14 he said, blotted out the handwriting ordinances was against us, which is contrary to us. Notice this now, he took it out of the way. Talking about the old law. And nailed it to the cross. So when Jesus was in the flesh, he brought Jews and Gentiles died by his blood on the cross. He died to save all mankind, every nation, all nation nationalities. No one group of people that's superior. All of us have to be born again in the water of the Spirit in order to be children of God. Verse 15, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of the commandments containing ordinances, or to make in himself a twain, one new man, so make it peace. So here it is. Explain this one. Have abolished in his flesh the enmity. Okay, like I said a while ago, it was when he was in the flesh, while he was in the flesh, the law condemned him. And now he goes to the cross. Had abolished in the flesh. And in so doing, when he died on the cross, he destroyed in the flesh. He ended that old covenant, the old agreement between God and the Jewish people. He brought this new covenant, a new testament, we call it, was dedicated by the blood of Christ. It was the blood of Christ. It was brought into effect. And we call it the New Testament or the New Law. It's called the Law of Love. It's called the Doctrine of Christ. It's called the Apostles' Doctrine. That's why today we're called Christians. And on this day, people are calling Easter. This was not a Christian celebration. It was for the Jews who was under Judaism. It was known as the Passover. It wasn't commanded for Christians to remember the day that man calls Easter by hiding Easter eggs and rabbit laying colored chicken eggs. It just had nothing to do with Christ. What we do today to remember Christ is remember his cross, suffering on the cross. Remember that he shedded the blood, and it was that blood that started the New Testament, the new law, the new way, a new day, a new name called Christians. And it was called Christians first in Antioch. The new day is the day of resurrection, which is the first day of the week. Up on the first day of the week, the Christians came together to break bread. And that's what you find we do in the churches of Christ. We take the Lord's Supper every Sunday. So from the way the world look at Easter, it's once a year. The Christians in the New Testament remember Jesus every first day of the week. But Jesus commanded himself, and Paul reminded the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 22, Jesus commanded that this you do in remembrance of him. So when we take the Lord's Supper, we're continuing with a new covenant, a new agreement made by God through his Son, Jesus Christ, called the Doctrine of Christ. And in that, we remember Jesus died on the cross through partaking of the communion. Now, Paul said, having abolished in the flesh, in his flesh, the enmity, which means he was human. Even the law of commandments contained in the flesh, in ordinances, to make in himself twain one new man, so making peace. Hence the law between the Jew and Gentile was the enmity, was taken away. And he was to make in himself twain one. So he done this to bring the Jew and the Gentile into one family. That family we know today as the church. It's called the Church of Christ. There was no Christians during the time of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. There were no Christians during the time of David and the times of Old Testament worship. It was the Old Testament was telling us that Jesus was coming. God had this plan in place. Now, the family of God is known as the Church of Christ with one race, a royal priesthood, a chosen nation, a peculiar people, at peace among themselves. He said in verse 16, and that he might reconcile both unto God, and notice this, here it comes, in one body by the cross, and slain the enmity thereby. So what purpose of Jesus dying on the cross was to reconcile Jews and Gentiles to God. To make friends again. I'm talking about that chapter 1 about the spiritual blessing. First thing we understand, it was the cross that made peace between Jew and Gentile. All mankind can be at peace with God. Secondly, the blood of the cross cleanses both before God. It makes peace between them and God. So when we're baptized, we're cleansed. It was at the blood of Jesus that caused all of this. God sinning to shed that precious blood. He was known as the Lamb of God. He will be known as the last lamb slain. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter before the shearer's dump. He would open out his mouth. What was the whole purpose of Jesus coming? to give mankind all nationality, who all have sinned and fallen short. And when a man or woman, Jew or Gentile, no matter what race they are, if they believe and they fix in their mind that Jesus died on the cross for them, the goodness of God will lead them to repentance. It will lead them to repentance. And the love of God, the goodness and love of God, the love of his Son, will draw all men to God. That's why Jesus said, if I be lifted up, talking about on the cross, he said, I'll draw all men unto me. And that's what he was doing. That was the purpose. And he came and preached peace to you, which were far off, and to them that were not. He preached peace to those who were far off, which are Gentiles. And the Jew was not. Both Christ, to both of them, Christ preached with each other and with God. He was bringing them back together. He preached to bring peace with all mankind. But through him, we both have access by one spirit unto the Father. We both, being Jew and Gentile, Paul was trying to get them to understand there was no difference, have access by one spirit. That's the spirit of adoption, as I talked about in chapter 1. The spiritual blessing that when one is born again of the water and the spirit, they're considered adopted into the family of God, born into the family of God. All of them become brothers and sisters in Christ. Then when we're in that, because of the Spirit, he's told us, giving us access. What we have as the Word of God was given to us by the Spirit. Jesus told them, I mean, when he, the Spirit of truth, will come, he would guide them into all truth. So we have access. When we obey the gospel, we see the gift of eternal life. Peter told him in Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. What comes with the Holy Spirit? Eternal life. Jesus said in John chapter 3, he says, except you be born of the water and of the Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. So you have to obey the Spirit, which gave us the command, which gives us the Word of God. We read it, and we must obey the Spirit to get that forgiveness of sin and be born of the water. We're born of the water. We're washed into the blood, into the our sins are washed away, and then we're added to one church. Verse 19. Now, therefore, you're no more strangers. Now that you're in Christ, he's telling these Gentiles, you're no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Isn't that a good thing? There are no strangers in the Lord's church. The Gentiles have been brought now. They're fellow citizens, full rights to everything God offers to everyone. All mankind have full rights to the blood of Jesus, his Son, to his kingdom, to the household of God. And Paul says, and are built up on the foundation, notice, of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, built up on the foundation. I mean, they have been built into the temple of the Lord. View it like this. The Word of God was all scripture given by the inspiration of God. The holy apostles and prophets, that's why Peter says in 1 Peter 20:21, knowing this first, no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came down the old time by the will of man, the holy man of God, spake that they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit guided the apostles and prophets to give us the word. And Jesus then came as the chief cornerstone, Christ being the chief cornerstone of this household of God. It's like a building that he's describing. There was a foundation built by the apostles and prophets. Jesus, in the corner of all everything the apostles preached, Jesus taught them. The Holy Spirit guided them into what we call the New Testament pattern of worship. Now, in this kingdom of the household of God, there is a chief cornerstone. The cornerstone was a stone of double size at every corner, which became the part of both walls and joined them together as they built this house of God. So he joined the Jews and Gentiles into this one building, this temple, a temple not made with hands. He is the foundation stone on which the building rests, and the state of the building is protected. And Isaiah said in Isaiah 28:16, he said it like this, therefore thus Therefore, thus said the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion, I'm a jewel, for a foundation of stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. And in Matthew chapter 21 and verse 42, Jesus said to them, did you not never read in the scriptures, the stone which builders rejected, he's talking about himself, the same that become the head of the corner, still talking about himself. This is the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in his eye. Jesus referred to himself as that cornerstone. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 11, the Bible says there, this is the stone, Peter was speaking, which was set in north of you builders, which become the head of the corner. And then Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 7, unto you, therefore, which believe he is precious, but unto them which he be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, talking about Jesus, the same that made the head of the corner. So Christ is head of this household. He's head of the church. That's what we're talking about here. Ephesians 5:23, the church. That's what Paul talks about in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22, the church, and Christ is the head of church. Now, the next verse, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21. In whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into a holy temple in the Lord. In whom, in Christ himself, all the building fitly framed together, the several parts of the building are united in him so as to form one holy temple. That is, all races, Jews and Gentiles, are added to the one body. The one body is made up of members of the church who are Christians. The body, according to Ephesians 4:4, there is one body, Paul said. There is one body. Ephesians 1:22 tells us that that body is the church. So the church now becomes the body of Christ. And all of us are members of that body. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 12, whereas the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. Then he says here, but by verse 13, but by one spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we Jew or Gentile, whether we be bond or free, and have made all to drink into one spirit. That's what he said. And he says that and tell us in verse 27, I just dropped down there for time's sake, 1 Corinthians 12:27, he said, now ye are the body of Christ. Ephesians 1:22 tells us the body is the church. So now he said, ye are the church of Christ and members in particular. And God said, some in the church, first apostles, secondly prophets, third are teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, government, and diversity. He's talking to the Corinthians about the purpose of the apostles, the prophets, and then all the miracles at that time because they didn't have the New Testament. It was not completed, but now it's completed, so we no longer need that. So now, back to the text. You see, and he said, whom ye all the building fitly framed together grew it unto a holy temple in the Lord. That's why we want every member in the church here is to continue to grow. And grow by studying of God's word, study to show thyself approved unto God, and work not need, be ashamed, rightly live by the word and truth. How do we grow? We grow by staying in the church, in the holy temple of the Lord, made up of all races, and added to the church, whom also you built together for the habitation of God through the Spirit, and whom also Ephesians, he's talking directly to them. Everybody that he wrote this letter to, talking about the Ephesian Christian, Jews and Gentiles, whoever was he writing to it, there was members of that church, your habitation. He said, you also built together, working together, as a habitation of God through the Spirit. And the Spirit guides us all to work together. God, by means of the Spirit, continues to dwell in spiritual temples in the hearts of mankind. When you add God's word to your heart, you're adding the Spirit, because the Spirit gives us the word. And then because we're following the Spirit, as long as we follow the Spirit, which gave us the information, As long as we obey, we will continue to grow. We will continue to build together. And it's a habitation, a place of dwelling. That habitation, as I just stated, is the church. The temple is composed of lively stones. 1 Peter 2 and verse 5. Peter said, ye are also as lively stones, are built of a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, offer spiritual sacrifices accepted to God by Jesus Christ. So we are the lively stone. Every one of us who've been born again of the water and the Spirit, we build up this spiritual house called the Church of Christ. We are our own priest. That's why we have to go to no priest and confess our faults to him. We can go directly to God, our high priest, Jesus Christ. We can pray to God, offer spiritual sacrifices to worship that will be accepted to God. And everything we do, whether it be a word, thought, or deed, we do it all by the authority of Jesus Christ, who is our King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So he's saying to these people, but now in Christ, let me recap points of what we have. Every one of us who's been washed in the blood, and to those who are not members, here's what you're missing out on. He said, now that you're in Christ, when you get baptized, if you hear this gospel today and you believe it with all your heart, you understand before you did that, you were with thy Christ. If you're on this call this evening, you have not been born again, you are with thy Christ. You are with thy Christ in your life. Aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. Strangers from the covenant of promise. You have no hope, and you're with thy God in this world. But you don't have to do that. Because in verse 13, he said, but now, as he told them, I'm saying to you, when you obey the gospel, when you've been washed in the blood, you're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. Galatians 3, 26, 27. When you're in Christ, that's when you get baptized. You're in Christ. You're born again. You contact the blood of Jesus. But now in Christ, you've been made now by the blood of Christ. But now in Christ, you can have peace. Now in Christ, you can be one. Now in Christ, he broke down a partition that was between Jews and Gentiles. Now in Christ, the old law is gone, and a new one. He reconciled those of us who are now in Christ unto God by one body, by the cross. Now in Christ, Jesus preached peace to us. He has given us access by one Spirit unto the Father. He allowed us to be no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. But now in Christ, we're built up on a foundation, apostles and prophets, with Jesus as our chief cornerstone. We, in Christ, we are a building fitly joined together as the temple of the Lord. We are his people, those who are in Christ. If you're on the call to see and you're not in Christ, why wouldn't you want to be in Christ? You can be brought now by the blood of Christ. You can be at peace with God. And when you're at peace with God, you get peace from God. When you get peace from God, it's the peace of God. And that peace of God is a peace that will get you through difficult times. That'll give you comfort when you're in pain. That when you're going through something in your life, you're at peace with God. God said it. He'll send you peace that's past understanding. And there's a time in your life when everyone needs God. We all need him in this world. And if you want the Lord to see you, if you want to be reconciled to God, he sent Jesus on the cross to bring you into that family, into that one body, by the cross. Verse 16. He can bring you peace. He can give you access to see it unto the Spirit, unto the Father by the Spirit. You can be a fellow citizen, a saint in the household of God. This household has a chief cornerstone, which is Christ. Wouldn't you want to be in the church? But Jesus said this evening, he calls mankind to him. And in the world we're living in, we all need the Lord. He said, come to me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. If you want to call this, no matter what you're going through, won't you be now in Christ Jesus? You need to be in Christ, and you do that by obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ. What is the gospel, Brother Brooke? The facts that God so loved you, John 3:16, that he gave his only begotten Son. And the fact is that Christ came to the world among the lived among me. And he came. He done no wrong. He knew no wrong. But he was hung between two thieves after being brutally spit upon, brutally beaten, wearing a crown of thorns, whipped with a whip, stripes all over his body. They took him to the cross. It was at the cross that he brought us near to him. It was at the cross where he shed the blood and purchased the church. It was at the cross where he cried to his Father, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. My God, why have thou forsaken me? Jesus, that was left on the cross, he became sin for us. And because he became sin for us, they murdered him. But now, Jesus said, after he got up from the grave, go preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Mark 16:15-16. What is the gospel? Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you have received wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believe in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. Therein lies the truth of the gospel, is the death, burial, and resurrection. And when you obey the gospel, you too die to the sin and the practices of this world. You're born again. You're buried with them in baptism. You rise to walk in newness of life. And in the waters of baptism, contact the blood. John 19:34, when he died on the cross, they pierced him in the cross. Out came blood and water. It's in baptism where you contact the blood and the water. And then the sins are washed away. You're forgiven by the blood of Jesus. The sins are washed away. You continue to live faithful unto death. The Lord adds you to the church. You become a Christian. And you just follow the word of God and live. Accordingly, you grow to be a mature Christian, sharing your knowledge of Jesus with everybody else you know. If you want to call this season, you're subject to the invitation. You hear the gospel, number one, Acts 1:15-17, hear the word of the gospel and believe. Number two, you believe. Number three, you repent. Jesus said, I tell your neighbor, except you repent, you're going to perish. Number four, you confess Jesus to be the Son of God before men. Matthew 10:32, Jesus said that himself. He said, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father. Number five, you must be baptized for the remission of your sins. Acts 2 and the verse number 38. Acts 22 and in verse 16, your sins are washed away by the blood of Jesus. Revelation 1 and the verse number 5. And then the sixth step is that you must live faithful after being baptized. You must live faithful and continue to grow in the knowledge of the Lord. Jesus told him Matthew 28, he says, when he told them to go to all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, he that believe it, and then base out. Excuse me, I'm sorry. He said all nations. He wanted them to go teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Teaching them, secondly, to observe all things whatsoever I command. Jesus gave that command, and we are to keep that command today to go teach all nations, male, female, all nationalities. All nations, baptize them by the authority of God. And then secondly, after they be baptized, we got to teach them to observe. That's why after you get baptized, you got to come back and keep coming. So teach you to observe all things that Jesus commanded. That's Matthew 28:18-20. If you want to call it in, you're a Christian. You're already a member of the Lord's church. You understand the things I just said. You should rejoice because now you're in Christ. And you have a holy spiritual blessing. And one of them is prayer. The eyes of the Lord open to the righteous, and the ears are open to their prayers. Maybe this evening you need prayer. You may be going through something. Why don't you let us pray for you this evening? If you have sinned, you've sinned against the Lord. Why don't you come back to confession? Repent of your sin in your mind. Confess your fault. as we command to confess our faults one to another. Jesus said, if you confess your sins, he's just to forgive. But you must repent. That means you just stop doing what you're doing. Change your way of thinking about that particular thing. And don't do it no more. And then the Lord will forgive you. And if you're on the call, you need to make a prayer request. Or you need to make a confession of your desire to be baptized. We want you to do it by hitting 5-star on your phone as we sing the invitation song.